content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Demi Arsenault from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will read to you from the March 2019 issue of Lion Magazine. We'll begin today with our president's message, Planting Trees, Planting Hope. Hello, Lions. When I was a child, I planted trees with my family at our summer cottage, and later my children did the same. My son wasn't always happy about it, being out there digging holes. He saw a whole lot of small trees that didn't mean much to him. But now he's all grown up, and so are the trees. More than 4,000 trees brim with life, rustle in the wind, and give us shelter on our walks. He understands now the promise of planting trees. He understands that planting something, anything, but especially trees which take so long to mature, is an act of hope. As Lions, we are ever hopeful. And I see that every day in the work that you do. Clubs across the world are planting trees as a symbol of that hope and as a concrete way to fight the effects of climate change. We do so many meaningful things at Lions, but none of them matter if we lose the one place we can call home. I challenge you to look at your community and seek out the ways to help fight for our planet. Partner with your local government to find a spot in need of reforestation. Get a group together to pick up trash at the beach or along a favorite hiking trail. Take some school children to a forest preserve and to teach them about nature. As adults, we tend to care about the things we loved as children. I loved the trees I planted with my parents. I passed that on to my children, and they are passing it on to theirs. Let's teach the new generation of the beauty of our natural environment so they will grow up to be protectors of the world we all depend on. Yours, Gudrun Yngvadottir, International President, Lions Clubs International. Next, let's read from our Global Service Department, beginning with the USA, Among the Giants. Taller than Cinderella's castle, wider than a city street, the sequoias of California are among the largest trees in the world and more than 3,000 years old. Every year, about 200,000 people stroll in their shadows at the Calaveras Big Trees State Park in California, and roughly 8,000 children visit with school groups to learn about them. But for the blind and visually impaired, discovering the Grove of Giants and being among their beauty is a different experience. Many have visited the Three Senses Trail designed for the blind and disabled since it was developed 42 years ago. But over the years, the trail has fallen into disrepair, and it needed to be restored to meet Americans with Disabilities standards. Arnold Lyon, Rod Smith, who is also president of the Calaveras Big Trees Association and a dedicated docent in the park, saw the need for the help. Led by Smith, the Lions in California's District 4A1, along with LCIF and the Arnold Lions, took on the U.S. $225,000 job to repair the trail as a centennial project in 2015. Over 3 years, the work continued, and in October, the ribbon was cut and the trail opened by 9-year-old Ryder Stitch, who was blinded by cancer. Stitch and Stockton San Joaquin Lion Jennifer Gass, who was introduced to the trees when she was just 7 or 8 and visiting the forest with her family and her Girl Scout group, helped the Lions and park staff understand what had to be done to improve the trail. Gass was wearing glasses as a child when she visited the forest and enjoyed the trail where she could reach into boxes to touch and identify the pieces of nature inside. Now 45 years old and blind, she and Stitch told Lions how to improve the trail with an even rim for canes to follow, improved braille signs, and more. I loved it then, not knowing I would come back and as an adult with no vision, but this is wonderful now, says Gass. They've made it open to people with all abilities. The trail has been widened, and 5 new benches and viewing platforms make a place for visitors to sit and enjoy the birds and the creek that follows through the forest. platforms with interpretive signs in print and braille, and 11 new sensory stations are in place, one with brass images of the park's birds that can be touched. And by summer, a revised trail guide with a tactile map, a sensory garden, and an app offering an audio tour of the park will be available. What Rod did and what the Lions did was very forward-thinking, says Park Superintendent Greg Martin. This is the only California state park created to protect the giants. Smith, whose wife, Vaughn, is also an Arnold Lion and a volunteer park docent, said, "Once you make the trail for the blind, you actually make it better for everyone." Next, from New Zealand, free fruit. The Ngāngahotaha Lions Club in New Zealand has given a barren roadside a whole new purpose. In 2016, the club donated more than 400 fruit and native trees to the Rotorua Ngāngahotaha Rail Park. Lion Ross Thompson, organizer of the event, said funding from the city council enabled them to add fruit trees to the mix of native species they had planned for the roadside. "We have positioned 25 fruit trees along the road so local kids can walk by and grab a piece of fruit on the way to school," he told the New Zealand Herald. He said they wanted to make the area nice for visitors and give the public access to fruit. "Hopefully the native trees that we have planted will be there for hundreds of years to come," says Thompson. Community members, including children, joined the club in the planting effort. Bonnie Hutchings took her two daughters along to help plant the trees. "My girls loved it. My youngest heard about it through school, and she really wanted to go," she told the Herald. "Lots of kids that were there will be able to go back and see the trees that they helped grow in years to come," says Thompson. And next, we have our LCIF Impact Department. Lions celebrate 20 years of sight first in Madagascar. Cataracts are the number one cause of blindness. Moved to change the reality for those affected more than 20 years ago, Lions in Madagascar started a Sight First project to address the issue. Since then, the Lions have gone on to do so much more. "When we see the smiles of the people we help, it goes straight to your heart. No riches in the world can buy the feeling of happiness that comes from helping others," says Lion Anja Ramillison of Antananarivo Lions Club. Lions Sight First Madagascar, a program supported by Lions Clubs International Foundation, recently marked its 20th anniversary restoring sight and expanding comprehensive eye care services across Madagascar. Approximately 1.3 billion people worldwide live with some form of vision impairment, according to the World Health Organization, also known as WHO, be it a refractive error, cataracts, or other eye condition. However, close to 80% of all vision impairment is avoidable. Many times, a pair of glasses is all that one needs to see clearly. Despite this, millions are seeing their lives through blurry eyes. In Madagascar, almost 80% of the population lives on less than $1.90 in U.S. dollars per day and cannot afford an eye exam or glasses. So in addition to a major cataract problem, Madagascar has many people living with uncorrected refractive errors. Many parents who lost their vision are no longer able to care for their family. They cannot work, so they cannot earn a living. In addition to a problematic economic situation, blindness and visual impairments lead to other health issues and a shortened life expectancy. Recognizing an enormous problem, Lions of Madagascar opened the Sight First Madagascar Eye Center, which is open every day of the week to provide eye care to those who need it. The Eye Center is committed to improving access to comprehensive eye care, including treatment of uncorrected refractive errors, and has affordable eyeglasses made on site. In addition, the center trains physicians to perform screenings and cataract surgeries that restore vision to people who were once blind. In LSFM's 20-year history, the center has made great strides against visual impairment and blindness. It has performed 77,794 cataract surgery, distributed 101,644 pairs of eyeglasses, diagnosed and treated 602 cases of diabetic retinopathy, and trained 60-plus physicians. These accomplishments would not have been possible without LCIF and the support of 53 Lion and Leo clubs. Overall, LCIF has awarded 7 grants to LSFM, totaling $4,144,623. To celebrate their 20th anniversary, the LSFM Lion and Leo clubs organized a parade and held a massive ophthalmic screening. Later that day, LSFM employees received medals from the Malagasy government for their outstanding contributions. And you can visit lcif.org/BE100 to learn how Campaign 100 will lead the charge to rid the world of infectious blindness, reduce avoidable blindness and vision and visual impairment, and overall improve the quality of life of those with blindness or visual impairment. And now in an article entitled Planting the Seed. You don't have to plant a forest to save the environment. Simply planting the seed for a love of nature in the younger generation may ensure they will grow to love and protect the natural world. Sarah Panjanabin, the mother of 2 preschoolers in California, posted a message on a neighborhood website looking for helpers. She wanted to transform her San Diego library's rocky open patio space into a garden where children like hers could learn about nature. Panjanabin had $100 for the project and not much time if she wanted to offer a summer nature education program for young children like her own. Take on a project with no money and little time? The San Diego United Lions jumped right in. In a few weeks, they could beautify their community and give children a place to joyfully learn how to care for the earth. The Lions quickly organized, planned, and made a budget. They transported 265 5-gallon buckets of compost and garden soil from the back of a truck to the future garden of one hot and humid day. They gathered in multiple homes to cut wood and build raised vegetable beds, hitting bumps and thumbs along the way. They assembled a children's playhouse with 96 screws. They built, painted, and made trips to the hardware store again and again. Neighbors and friends were invited to join them, and when the work moved on-site, children were given plastic shovels and pails to help with the heavy lifting. They learned how to plant flowers and vegetables, and then how to take care of them. Finished in time, the new outdoor area soon included raised garden beds stocked with fruits and vegetables, a sensory garden, an outdoor sink and garden hose, recycle bins, a bird bath, wind chimes, and benches for reading and reflection. Over 3 weeks' time, an unused patio became a beautiful educational area where all ages could learn, have fun, and rest. It was done totally out of a love for the earth, says library branch manager Ina Gibson. The Lions have worked very hard to create a garden. I know what it used to look like, and I know what it looks like now. It provides a focal point for our library, a pleasant place to sit and read, or for rambunctious kids to get a little energy out. It's charming and lovely. Panjanabin grew up in Mira Mesa neighborhood and has been visiting the library since she was 7. Now a library volunteer, she leads the Children's Green Thumbs Garden Club, where she reads a story, leads a craft, and then helps the children water, pull weeds, and talk about what's happening in the garden. It's been a wonderful experience, she says. In Sutton, Massachusetts, a 1.5-mile nature trail behind the schools is much more than just a way to traverse the swamp. Since its construction in the 1970s, Cedar Swamp Nature Trail became a natural setting for science classes focusing on pond life, swamp habitat, and forests, but also for creative writing classes seeking inspiration in nature, and for the students in history who used it to study survival shelters in their lessons about early man. The problem was that as years passed, the trail was neglected and became overgrown with prickers and small trees. Large trees had fallen in blocked areas, and in sections that extended over the water, the wood had become rotten and unsafe. It was a treasure that was slowly disappearing. But when a teacher at the nearby Sutton Middle School brought it to the attention of the Sutton Lions, they stepped right up, and so did Boy Scout J.P. Kapuanu, who was hoping to fulfill his Eagle Scout requirements. Together, the Lions and Kapuanu agreed that Lions would provide the manpower, funding, and technical know-how to restore the trail. Kapuanu would coordinate with help with high school students and other scouts to clear the trail and remove the debris. Their project began shortly after Labor Day and was completed by early December. Sutton Lions constructed 12 8-foot-long bridge and boardwalk sections. 12 yards of crushed stone were delivered to be spread along the trail and stabilize ground conditions. Over a 3-month period of spending weekends on the trail, about 30 Lions donated more than 100 man-hours in service and $1,300 for materials. Boy Scouts contributed about 80 hours, and soon after completion, classes started using the trail again. Science teacher Deborah O'Neill wrote to thank the Lions and the Boy Scouts for restoring the area. "It's such a wonderful resource for me as I teach biology and environmental science," she said. "This is invaluable because I am able to get the students outside and pique their interest in nature, which is missing from many of their lives now." And another feature article entitled "Making Reading a Breeze." Utah Lions give students a lift for reading. Lofted by lusty winds with the majestic Rocky Mountains as a backdrop, an airborne parade of colorful kites fills the sky of Cedar City one day each April. Handed out to children, the nylon kites soar high. But the Lions of this city in Utah want the youths who wield the kite strings to reach new heights as they mature and move on in school and life. Reading, the Cedar City Lions believe, is a powerful tool for self-realization and achievement. For 15 years, the club has passed out reading charts to the nearly 4,500 school children in the school district, and 3 months later rewarded those who read a set number of minutes with a kite, a book, or movie passes. Parents are grateful that the incentives to read result in hour after hour spent by their children curled up with books. "It's such an important life skill," says Julianne Wilson, who has 3 younger children. "Video games have taken away time from reading. Kids have lost the love of reading." Situated at nearly 6,000 feet, Cedar City otherwise is a typical small city with 31,000 residents. There is some poverty, some well-off families, and a whole lot of folks getting by. Farming and ranching are the main sources of employment. Southern Utah University also is a major employer as well as an impetus for culture and engagement with the broader world. Education and reading is seen as a necessity for getting ahead, or at least not falling behind. "Reading is everything," says Lion Mark Nelson, when asked why his club chooses to support reading as its main project, aside from its backing of the many events on the 4th of July. A mainstay for 87 years, the club has 51 members. A member a few years back was the school superintendent, which helped lead to the reading program with the Iron County School District. Students record the minutes they read on the special charts given to them. Older children need to read more to qualify for a prize. Kindergartners and first graders must log 70 minutes a week reading, while second graders and third graders must tally 85 minutes a week, and fourth to sixth graders 125 minutes weekly. About 900 students, or 20% of all students, usually reach the goal and merit a prize. The contest is purposefully held during the latter part of the school year when interest in academics fades a bit. "The kids are losing interest in school and reading in them," says Nelson, who coordinates a project for the Lions. "It's really a great project for us because it doesn't take a huge amount of time," says Nelson. The Parowan Lions Club helps Cedar City Lions with the project. Wilson's three children mirror the overall disparate attitudes toward reading among school children. My older boy has to be forced to read. My daughter loves to read. She does double the minutes needed. Yet my youngest can't read on her own, so we read picture books together, she says. For the project, Lions recruits sponsors, local businesses, and other organizations whose names and logos appear on the reading charts. The revenue is donated to the Parent Teacher Association, the PTA, at the school. Wilson is the president of the PTA. The club has donated as much as $15,000 in 1 year to the PTA. Last year, the funds were used for supplies and art for science teachers and for Chromebooks. Reading is a solitary endeavor, but a significant benefit of the Reading Project is the social engagement. Lions throw pizza parties for the classes with the highest participation, and the kites are given out and flown in conjunction with a whole slate of family-friendly activities. Police and firefighters teach safety techniques such as car seat safety, and wooden toys are handed out to build and paint. It's hard these days for families to find time to do things together, says Wilson. The Lions are encouraging people to spend time together outdoors. And here's another feature article on International Women's Day. As part of the call to promote gender parity and increase the number of women in leadership positions, Lions Clubs International launched the New Voices Initiative, which is celebrating the contributions of outstanding women within its ranks. On March 8, 2019, Lions will be joining the global conversation about gender parity on International Women's Day. Here's a look at how some clubs have celebrated in the past. Last year, the Lions Club of Matanur celebrated International Women's Day by partnering with the Cananore Obstetric and Gynecological Society to host a series of programs aimed at empowering women through education, employment, and enterprise. Every woman should develop the self-confidence and belief to stand on her own feet by learning and earning, says PDG Suchitra Sudhir, a New Voices Constitutional Area speaker and member of the Matanur Club. In 2018, 450 women and girls attended the event at Pashasi Raja NSS College in Kerala, India. Effective public speaking classes, how to start cottage industries suitable for women, and teaching a trade were some of the programs offered. The Gynecological Society gave a talk called Save the Girl Child, which focused on the importance of girls in society and how to prevent sexual abuse. Lions promoted diabetes awareness and screened approximately 400 women, a whopping 20% of whom were found to be diabetic or pre-diabetic. Lions gave tips on how to prevent and control the condition. They then held a Zumba class to show that exercise could be a fun way to help combat high blood sugar. At first, only a few ladies agreed to dance, says PDG Sudhir. They were given free T-shirts. Then, as the catchy music started playing, all the 400-odd women donned the shirts and started doing the steps. It was a super success. The clubs plan to hold a Zumba session weekly to encourage women to keep exercising. In Australia, the Noonawanding Lions Club celebrated the 2018 International Women's Day with a dinner fundraiser in support for the Babes Project, which assists pregnant women and girls and who have no one else in their life to support them. The night raised $3,000 Australian, which is $2,140 US for the Babes Project. And there's no better time to celebrate the women in your club than International Women's Day on March 8th. Here are some great ways your club can get involved. Go to the New Voices website for resources to celebrate Women Lions, and that's at lionsclubs.org/newvoices. Post a selfie on Facebook in support of women everywhere on March 8th. Share a story of an incredible woman in your club on social media. And it is past March 8th, but it's not too late for that, y'all. And now it's time for club news. The Simcoe Lynn Lyons Valley Lions in Canada contributed $500 Canadian dollars, which is $379 U.S. dollars, to the Children's Aid Society for their foster children's holiday party. The club also sponsored three families, supplying them with food and gifts. In Michigan, the Sandusky Lions dedicated a digital sign to the Sandusky City Library and donated a Lions drinking fountain for the city playground. World War II veteran Hubert Garland Edwards, his family, and his fellow Western Harnett Lions clubs in North Carolina celebrated Hubert's 100th birthday with a cake and the presentation of the plaque, club T-shirt, and an honorary lifetime membership. Edwards is a decorated veteran, having served in the 17th Field Artillery Battalion. He noted at the celebration that one highlight of his career was a personal conversation he shared with Generals Eisenhower and Patton. In a small rural town in the Missouri Ozarks, the Mountain Grove Lions have purchased a spot vision screener and a hearing screener and have screened more than 3,000 children for vision. Hearing screenings will follow. The club pursued grants for the purchase of the equipment, but members donate their time and personal expense money to reach out to students in a 30-mile radius of the small town where financial resources for the schools are limited. Crest Hill Lions Clubs in Illinois presented the Will County Children's Advocacy Center with more than 120 fleece tie blankets they made to comfort sexually abused children who come to the center to find hope, healing, and justice. Lions are thankful for strong community support of the project. In Kentucky, the Berea Lions Club completed a fundraiser to purchase a lensometer for reading the prescription of used eyeglasses. They have processed several thousand pairs and sent their first shipment of 1,000 to a mission team bound for Mexico. The club is preparing for other planned trips to Peru, Uganda, and Haiti. The Iron Lions Club, a small 85-year-old club in Texas, contributed to flood relief for Junction, Texas, and Sonora, Texas, where devastating flash floods overcame communities with loss of lives and properties. The Maywood, Nebraska Lions Club celebrated their 70th anniversary and honored member Robert Bob Furrow, who helped found the club in 1948. Furrow, who is now 98 years old, remains an avid golfer and an active and proud Lion. He remembers back to when the Lions in Maywood would paint the stripes down the center of Main Street for the community. And if you have any questions on any of these articles or want to read more about Lions and what they're doing, you can visit us at www.lionsclubs.org. And again, www.lionsclubs.org. And unfortunately, we've run out of time for today's episode. Be sure to tune in next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call us 919-832-5138. And again, 919-832-5138. Have a wonderful day.